wait to get my tape recorder out of Hawk, out of my Connex, before I talk to you for all the packages and letters and cards and everything I've been getting. I tell you, it's something to have folks like you, look after me the way you do. I can't tell you how much it meant to me. It meant a lot. So many things have passed by now. I told you in my letter where I am right now, in Quan Loi. This place is... Oh, my. Tainan was so nice. These buildings, none of them... We had 10 roofs on our Tainan buildings, but... Here at Quan Loi, the only thing we have is... tent roofs. There are no screens on the buildings, no doors. They're just a wooden floor and a tent above you. Of course, there are a lot of rockets come in here. It's in the middle of a rubber plantation. And all the rockets that hit in the trees. And they, of course, give you an airburst effect. And the shrapnels, of course, tore in huge holes in the canvas, which has never been repaired. Which makes it all nicer. The dust down here is red, and it's prolific. It's a garbage dump. It's a small LZ, about a quarter of the size of Tainan. Been overrun a few times. But no sweat on that anymore, because there's cabs here now. Tainan, I'll tell you, we were glad to leave Tainan. A few nights before we left, we got a... Well, you probably read about it in the papers. We got a bad hit on Tainan. And, well, I'd probably just forget about it. It's pretty bad. Not too bad on us. It's bad on the perimeter, especially if we're inside the perimeter, so we don't have too much to worry about. That night, Freddy woke us up. Freddy sleeps under my bed now. He slept under my bed for about 2 weeks, ever since the unit that took over for us where we were at Tainan, the 1st to 12th, their mascot's a huge Great Dane. And Freddy took one look at that Great Dane, and he really thought he was king around where we were, so he could beat anybody in a fight. Took one of that look at that Great Dane and just went running right for me. He got behind me, and that Great Dane was coming at me, and I said, Freddy. I felt like telling the Great Dane he can have Freddy. So ever since then, Freddy's been sleeping under my bed. That night, he woke up, and he was howling and barking. And we finally shut him up. Literally, had to put my hand on his mouth. And there wasn't a shot being fired. There wasn't a round coming in. There wasn't anything. It was real quiet. One of the quietest nights we'd had. I'll be damned. Said he couldn't smell his goods. And pretty soon, about 10 minutes later, stuff started coming in. Had a ground attack. And his hairy, to say the least. Somebody's armed to the teeth, I tell you, in a base camp. It's more dangerous to run around inside the camp than it is to run around outside the base camp with a goose shot, because when you get a ground attack, or get sappers in the perimeter, anybody will shoot at anything that's moving. Of course, if you're moving, it's bad news. Well, we got over that night okay, and then... We got in a convoy, went from here to Coochie, and then if you get ambushed from going from here to Coochie, that was an experience. I had no sweat. As I was saying, I confiscated a 50 caliber machine gun to mount on a pedestal in the back of my Jeep, playing rat patrol and a whole good bit. And it came in, as I said, it came in quite handy. Of course, I don't really think it made any difference whether I was armed with a 22 pistol. I had a tank in front of me and a duster, quad 50s in back of me. And when they opened up, everything was still. Somehow my driver's just as afraid as I am, and he managed to pick a good spot to drive in the convoy. So we got down in here, and, it's terrible. Really bad. It's an officer's club, though. It's a division-run officer's club. It's not bad. Where we are, we're right in the... You can't imagine dust, when you have a great deal of heat in the morning. And, if it's wet in the afternoon, it rains in the afternoon, and the next morning, you have this mud, and the mud dries up, and then if you have a whole vehicle going all the time, or something to dry it out a lot real quickly, to crumble it, there's not much texture to the soil, like sand. And it just blows, and before every rain, you know, it blows bad, and we're sitting right in the middle of three chopper pads, one on, you know, one's on the, in front of us, one's on the left, one's on the right, there's buildings in back of us, but of course they blow up all the dust in the world, and all you have to do is sit in your office, and by 10 o'clock in the morning, you got about an inch of sand on you, red sand. It's amusing is what it is. Hell, you can't figure it any other way. Not too much funny happened on the convoy other than having a great number of drunk soldiers. If that's to be expected, they take their coolers and as much beer as they can haul. And anyway, they get icy. Just cool it down and start drinking. The tapes you got were wonderful. Just outstanding. Hear everybody's voice. I'm not talking about just your last tape, the tape before that. Aunt Marge and Uncle Dick and Dick and Becky and Dick and Amy and y'all. That was really fantastic. Of course, all the stuff you sent me in your package was outstanding. No doubt about that once whatsoever. The popcorn and snow and Aunt Marge's instant powder. I tell you, that's wild too. Cheese, cake was delicious. Oh my, candy, and sausage, and the shoeshine kits, and the tapes are great. Herb Alpert and Lars same, outstanding. I'll tell you, they're worth their weight in gold over here. You just can't get any decent tapes. I just took a break there to read a few of your letters to make sure I didn't forget any important questions, as I'm sure I always do, and leave you hanging up in the air. I only have one comment. Short. That's my comment for the evening. I got one of Dad's letters today, and he said, well, as he counted it, I should have 66 days left. Well, I got 67. Actually, no, I guess he's right. No, I got 67 and a wake-up, as they call it. So, oh my, it's, time has been flying. I believe it, I've been over here 300 days. Got all your pictures, Dad, and those are... I tell you, it really brings me home. I got this huge album now. I keep all the pictures I can swipe and get from home. I'll tell you, it's a real pleasure to take you back when you want to relax, just sit down, have a beer, and go through a picture album. Takes me all the way back, I'll tell you. You asked one of your questions about where the goats get all their ammo. I'll tell you. It's not hard to understand. You know, right across from Vietnam, it's Cambodia and Laos, of course, know it. And they have a highway going all the way up and down to their no man's land. And it's a very thorough highway, and they use trucks, and they have helicopters guarding their convoys. Some small light observation planes, which I'm sure are armed with machine guns. Which means, since Vietnam is not very wide, it's probably, I don't know, I'm probably speaking without knowledge. The majority of the places, it's only 100 kilometers wide, anywhere. Well, 100 kilometers really isn't that far. Now, when men, boys, whatever you want to call it, get in good shape, they can walk fast if they know where they're going on good trails. And it's very easy, and especially for these goats who are wiry and in good shape, to walk 20 clicks, 20 kilometers, or 16 miles. No, that's wrong. About 11 miles. How about 12 miles? How about I better get on a piece of paper and compute? I'll go along with 12 and a half miles. That isn't too far. I'm helicopter. I'm going to keep you going. The helicopter's coming over all day. He's buzzing you. So, that means in 4 or 5 days, if you have a continuous resupply route, you can get whatever you want across. That's what the goats do. Now, then you have to imagine that from Tainan to Cambodia, by several different routes is only 18 kilometers. There comes another chopper. And 18 kilometers can be traveled easily in a day. So that means that they can mortar us one night and expend all our ammunition and still count no more ammunition the next day, which is what they do, I'm sure. They have to, almost, because once they start mortaring us, they better clear out of the way because they're going to dump all sorts of pee on top of them. The bunker I'm constructing now, I had a beautiful bunker here. My people built for me. Ah, it was a beauty. And yes, this dad commented, yes, they did come in. It was a small bunker. They're sleeping on my desk and shit, sleeping on me and everything else. The bunker I got now, it's bad because water drains in any hole you have here right down at the bottom of the hill. Water drains right into you. I got a backhoe. I don't know if you know what a backhoe is. It's sort of like a, you know what a hoe is. I'll just enlarge that to a great big machine that does the same thing and scrapes dirt out. So like a steam shovel, except the reverse. I got a backhoe, and I dug a big hole, and I took one of our conexes. Well, I think Dad can explain to you what a conex is. It's a great big steel box they ship stuff in, which we've latched on to store our goods and keep them dry. And I sunk this in the hole, then put sandbags and PSD, which is a runway, airfield runway type steel, which they lay down for planes to land onto, which you can steal, appropriate. And put that on top of that, and then more sandbags and woods, and then different stuff to prevent cave-ins. And a blast shield, you call it, you put culvert. These are half-moon-shaped pieces of steel, which are about 4 feet long, or 3 feet long. For a blast shield, you just put that plane on there. You don't put any sandbags or anything. That means when a rocket or a mortar came down, it probably exploded on that first, and you have the distance between your sand top sandbag and the top of your culvert to, as a dead space for the explosion to be enveloped in, and then nothing much happens to you. So I was looking pretty good. I hate to think I'm going to be living in that for 60 days, but rockets come in here quite often, and it's we're right on the runway. There are helicopters all around us, so all I have to do is aim for the helicopters and miss, and we've had it. But there's nothing to worry about that. So few people get hurt by it. It's amazing. I sent a roll of film to you, and that roll of film was of a convoy I took, another convoy I took from Canaan to Coochie. I don't know how good the pictures came out on it. I hope they came out okay. Some of them were of the temple. And the temple, this is the Kaudai Temple. That's capital C-A-U, capital D-I-A. And it's one of their larger Buddhist temples. Beautiful. I only caught the outside of it. When the goats attack, they don't mess with it. Nobody messes with the religious people. They'll mess with the Catholics once in a while, but usually don't have to worry about the Catholic priests or Vietnamese, because they're VC anyway. But that's quite far from us, and I'd say that's a good 5 or 6 kilometers from us. They just mess with the city that's directly around the fire base, and of course us. Sorry to hear about Bruce Dunham. That's a real shame. It's a real shame that a lot of people die over here. I sympathize with his parents, the grief I know they feel, the loss they feel. Well, I'm sure they have a hard time justifying just why the devil, their son, did die over here. I should be one of the ones that's promoting this war. And the longer I'm here, the more discouraged I get with the war. There are too many young men that are dying. Well, a lot of them, needlessly, through accidents, just because we're here, which wouldn't happen in the States. I mean, there would be accidents, but not for the same reason. Others, idea in a lot of things, like this Hamburger Hill business. That's asinine. I can't understand why a commander would do that. If they're willing to expend numerous young men's lives, I can't ever justify that as a life for a life. Airstrikes would have taken care of it. But it'd be, knowing the tactical situation here, you'd have had to have a lot of airstrikes, a great number of airstrikes. You would probably have had to have the whole place encircled, which would mean committing two or three battalions, not just the one battalion they had, surrounding the place at a good distance, and then put probably around 100 airstrikes. Well, this is where you come out of how much do you calculate that human life is worth, and how much does the Army want to expend on airstrikes? Well, one of these airstrikes, I'm sure, costs $250,000. So when you talk about 100 airstrikes on one hill, it's a lot. But when one of these jets comes in, they can kill me. Can probably carry one, right? It can carry two 500-pound bombs or 1,000-pound bomb. Well, two 500-pound bombs would have done the trick. A 1,000-pound bomb. A 1,000-pound bomb is good for disrupting, killing the majority of people within 100 meters by 100 meters square, and it still wasn't this big. It's probably the size of well, it's hard to compare, but let's, you know where the water tower is over by Williamsburg Shopping Center, and if you slope the hill down fairly gradually, if you're looking from Williamsburg up towards the tower and you slope it off to the right, you've got about the size hill it was. And enough airstrikes, that's what I'm saying, to take 100 airstrikes. You could have done the damage enough to disrupt these people so thoroughly that you could have wiped up and lost very few people. But you had some gung-ho SOB who wanted to do this. I can't understand it. This is an unusual case, and it's not the commonplace. But as soon as you expose yourself or commit yourself to doing something, all you need is a few individuals like this to destroy a great number of people, your own people. And you can't justify it. I don't know if I can justify this war anymore. I can see it's valid points, but the valid points are, I see, are without people. They're ideas. But as soon as you involve people with them, you have a hard time seeing trees for the forest. And that's what I'm getting to. So when I hear about a boy that's close to home, like Bruce Dunham, that's hard. Anybody else can get killed, and you don't think about it too much, but when it hits close, then you start to think about it, and you say, well, these parents were taking it very bravely. Well, depending on their viewpoints, maybe they should, maybe they shouldn't take it very bravely. Perhaps they should raise a whole lot of hell about it. I don't think enough people back in the States are concerned about it. I know you are. I know we both are. I know the majority of people who listen to this tape are, but it's hard, real hard. I see that Jimmy Lunson is going to be over here pretty quick. Signal Corps, well, I'll tell you, 10 to 1, he's going to get stationed in Da Nang, possibly in Da Nang, Benoit, or Long Ben, or Saigon, or Cameron Bay. And if he's in any one of these places, he might write home about hardships, mainly because it's harder than what he's living with now. However, I doubt if he'll ever get out in the field far enough to realize what a real hardship is. It's, we go to Saigon and we think it's almost like the States. However, the people that live in Saigon can hardly rationalize that statement. So you can rest assured, if he's in any one of those four places, that's Cameron Bay, the five places, Cameron Bay, Saigon, Long Bend, Benoit, Da Nang, that he's okay. And nothing will ever happen to him, unless he becomes a target of opportunity, like driving around. There are several places he could get stationed. He could get stationed as an infantry battalion. And if he's with an infantry battalion, he's probably just as safe again, except if his fire base gets hit. And 10 to 1, he won't be operating on a fire base anyway. And if so, not for very long. So you're pretty safe as an infantry battalion, unless you're a grunt. Or he could get stationed on a retransmission station. This is like, I sent you my pictures of Nui Baden. Well, on the top of Nui Baden, there is a base camp. There's an LZ. It's a very small LZ. But it's only there for the purpose of retransmitting radio traffic. And it just, a lot of these retrans stations on the top of any hill get wiped out. It's not too safe a place, so. I hope Jimmy doesn't get something like that. As I told you, got a letter from Nancy. She's got a fairly short memory. Maybe that's just as well. She said she's married some guy around September, she thinks. That was a very nice letter. Quite a few grammatical errors in it, though. Same. I think I'm going to have to correct them, send it back, point out her English errors. But now there's you got a whole lot of crap that I don't know what to do with. But they'll make some good gifts to people I care for. There's a lot of dolls I have in there. They're, if you remember over at the Standards, in their basement, they have a whole bunch of figurines, like, they're train of figurines of peasants doing different things. Well, I have a whole bunch of those. And I think Mom will probably feel that they're hideous, and I wouldn't blame her. I sort of like them, but they're certainly not the commonplace, and I don't know if she'd want them sticking around her house, because they're probably neo-junk as compared with some of the very, very decent things we have in our house. There's a set of china and a set of silverware and stainless steelware. And some other stuff. But you might poke your nose in there and see what you'd like. I'm glad Dick got the watch, and I'm glad he likes it. I got a watch here, which is fantastic, which I just treasure as a Christmas present from you all. It's Omega. And I really have no... It's senseless to have that Accutron sitting back there doing nothing. I don't have any pictures ready for you right now. I'll have to find my camera first. I don't know where it is. It's not too unusual. We switched buildings about three different times trying to find someplace dry. So. Got my latest package from Doug and Kathy, which... apparently there's a fairly decent pornographic book to read. No, I don't know what it is. I don't know what they put in there. Crossword puzzle books and some a whole lot of goodies. And pass on to them. Thank you so much. I'm going to try to write a letter. I lost all my addresses again. But I can send it via my you too, and you can pass it on to them or pass this tape on to them. But I just tell them thank you so much, and I enjoyed their tape immensely, especially with little Ned in the background. He's quite a character. Seems to be quite a little devil right now. I imagine the headaches are going to. Got a real cool flag to bring home, which is a really nice gift. We've just had a change of battalion commanders. Colonel Graham, who's our former battalion commander, has left now, the D-Rose. And who should take over but another Colonel Graham, And I'll tell you, that really screws up the paperwork too, because one guy's name is Todd Graham, the other guy's is James Graham, and then you have to look real closely at all your paperwork to make sure you got the right man. So you got so many pre-printed forms for this kind of stuff, it's horrendous. But would you know that Colonel Graham came back and somehow, I don't know how, a bottle of alcohol appeared and several of us sat down. And we just changed. Well, the old flag had gotten torn and beat up, my battalion flag, and we got a new one. Wouldn't you know, he gave me the old one. It's a real nice flag, and I hope I can mount it. And it's the 8th Cavalry. And it shows it as part of the, I don't know if it shows it as part of the 1st Cavalry or not. I can't remember when I looked at it. But, first the 8th, because I couldn't keep any of the battle ribbons. So. But, it's going to be a nice flag. It shows its use and wear and stains and everything else. Have a bunch of other first war trophies, so. And I guess I'm going to try to take that pistol home with me. That's 9mm Duke pistol. It's a real, real nice pistol, Dad. But as I say, it takes a 9mm short Soviet round. I can't find it anywhere. Least of all in the goods. Except that they're shooting at you, then instead of hiding, to reach up and pull the bullets down. So. I don't like anybody want to. It's a blowback action, so it's nothing like our 45, you know, barrel fixed. So, as soon as we got here, we discovered our plight as far as roofs over our heads. So, there is tin in Vietnam. You can get it for construction. You can get just about any building material. It's more or less who you know rather than getting it through normal channels, so, because people hoard it. And of course, this is another bad supply problem. That's hoarding of combat essential equipment. Which everybody does, and I guess I'm doing it to a slight extent, although it's, I hoard stuff that's easily expendable. So that I, since the supply channels are so slow, I try to make up for some of it. But I sent, two of my guys to Saigon. And then to Benoit. Then Long Ben to the depot there. The depot's there. It's huge. I sent them by plane, you know, and I said, you line up some of this tin for me, and I'll send the trucks back up for it. Well, that was a mistake. I should have sent a truck with them. But they came back with a tin. They came back with a 5-ton truckload worth of tin, plus the truck. And if they'd sold them a deuce and a half, a 2.5-ton truck, I'd have been all right, because we had a deuce and a half, and we could have covered it up. They took the whole damn truck. 5-ton truck. It's big. And we don't know what to do with it. Because nobody wants to drive it back, because it's a dangerous road from Conroy to Saigon. And so nobody wants to drive it. I'm not going to drive it. I'm not going to order anybody to drive it. I guess we're going to have to abandon it somewhere and frag it. These guys are ingenious. All the goodies they can come up with. And some people don't care much about themselves, so they don't build very nice quarters. And some people do, which I do. And naturally, we have nice quarters for ourselves. Well, printing up a whole bunch of tapes saying that much anything. I want you to know I love you all, and I am certainly touched by all the presents and tapes and letters I got. It meant a lot to me, and I felt like a sentimental old fool as I sent my letter to, when I listened to tapes and opening the packages at the same time. It's just like sitting among y'all, you know. I really enjoyed it. I just hope that sometime I can reciprocate in a billionth of a percent as much as what you've done for me. Well, as I said, I've only got 67 days more, and that should put me home. Oh, on the 6th or 7th or 8th of September, maybe earlier if I can get out earlier. Sometimes you can get a day or two boost. You know, they, these other battalions that are pulling out, they sent out a letter. USARV did, this is the United States Army of Vietnam. Sent out a letter and they said everybody who has DROS is DROS who has 10 months in country as of 1 July can get out. Of course, I'd have 10 months in country on paper, of course, as of 5 July. They said you could go to Hawaii and live for 3 years, because I haven't yet decided whether I'm getting out or not, so I don't know, but I still got 2 years to go. I'd have jumped at it if I'd had a chance. Well, maybe I would have. Come home and get some good chow. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, I look forward to that chow more than anything else. And some good times, and help out a little bit around. Maybe we can go out in a boat and do some traveling. Mess around down there for a while, a couple days. I'd really enjoy that. I've always enjoyed it in the past. Maybe they still got slot machines down there, I don't know. They probably don't, but... Oh, this is terrible, you know, in all the bars here, all those Division I bars, they've got slot machines. Oh, Dad knows me and slot machines. Boy, I've either got to drive by the place or I'll drop 20 bucks on a spot. Of course, you know, 20 bucks here, 20 bucks there, doesn't make too much difference, and it's once a month. But it's a lot of fun. Well, I think I'm just about running out. Just want to reiterate my thanks and my love. And hope to see y'all soon. I'll tug another tape as soon as I can. I don't know how long this tape recorder is going to hold out in this dust, but we shall see. See you later.
David taped this in late June at Quan Loi, June 1969. This was the last tape he sent us, although he came back home in early August.